So it's one of our traditions in Boundless Way to have evening encouragement talks by our one of our senior Dharma teachers. And of course, each one of us, as we talk in the Dharma dialogue, and as we walk and as we sit, are teaching. And so the encouragement for all of us is to listen to receive whatever happens as a teaching for us, and so wonderful to hear the many voices. And so this evening, Senior Dharma Teacher James Cordova will be speaking.
For those of you listening at home, the servers are making their way into the Zendo. So, sometimes when I'm lucky, the shape of one of these talks will come to me relatively easily. And sometimes when I'm a different kind of lucky, the shape completely eludes me. So I got to have the quite wonderful experience that we were, that many of us were pointing to earlier in the session of trying to find that damn leaf that was going to be the aha inspiration of the moment. I always think of this. Many years ago, I read a novel by Albert Camus, The Plague, and it's depressing. I wouldn't recommend it. You can tell just by the title, not one that you'd want to pick up necessarily. But there's a character in there that always has always sort of carried rather fondly. He sort of spent his life, his hobby, the thing that brought him the most joy, was to write the great novel. His whole career of being a novelist was spent writing the first sentence to this novel. And he would write the first sentence, and then he would sort of drift off to a reverie, thinking about how one day he would stand up in front of whatever was the Barnes & Noble of the time, the crowd, and he would read this first sentence, and everybody would just leap to their feet and throw their hats in the air and scream, "Hooray!" That's the most brilliant thing I've ever heard. I was sort of hoping for that. It's not going to happen. the arc of his story in this novel is, as the plague moves through and it becomes a more desperate city, he loses the thread of the joy that he could experience writing and rewriting this one opening sentence, and then drifting off into reverie of magnificent applause, and becomes, a bit unmoored. And very sort of rich and human, developing a quality of compassion, coming out of that loss, and then as so far these things always do, the crisis passes, and he is among the many, maybe too few, but many that survive, and things settle, and he sits down to write his sentence again, back into the reverie. So, you know, this is what we do. The waxing and the waning of our experience. You know, sometimes it's the simple things that have some... David said earlier that the secret was that we're all insane. You know, that have some quality of wildness to them, some quality of, I know this is crazy, but I love it. And that gets to be okay too. And so we all gather together here for Sesshin. Melissa made the point on the first day that you know, this lovely sort of image, and so fitting, of setting off on a voyage that we have no idea where the destination is. Here we are, for this moment, for this breath, for this round. This is the emerging moment. We come together, old Zen hands who know nothing, and new faces that we're so happy to see here, who know nothing. And we come and we sit in our beautiful, dignified, human postures. And we breathe in and we breathe out. And we don't look at each other that much. Because some part of us... knows that we need the silence, we need the stillness, we need the gift of not looking each other in the eyes too much, so that we can really meet each other. We come together and sit in this room to be human together. Together. And we know this is it. And it's enough. Tickled or lonely or a little sad or a little sick or happy. This sitting together and being human . There is a quality of joy . And so we throw off our hats and say hooray. Hooray for being human. So glad to be here with all of you. to have this wonderful and precious opportunity to spend this evening with you. No rush. Thank you.